The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Breaking news into First Take, and things just keep getting worse for the winless Falcons. The team is shutting down their facility today after multiple positive COVID-19 tests. Sources telling our Adam Schefter putting their game scheduled for Sunday in Minnesota with the Vikings in jeopardy. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take, and look who the cat dragged in.
Yeah.
I won't say the black cat, even though you do the Cowboys.
Oh, it's not
like
a black cat. I actually win. The Dallas Cowboys have a problem
you
with that.
You do win.
So
there's
no comparison.
Good to see you.
Well,
it's good
not
to
on this
see.
Show, but in life, it's true what he's saying.
Well, I actually do win on this show all the time. It's just that you disguise it because you take nine different sides in one argument, but that's a different story for another day. How you doing, Max? How's everything going?
Delusional. I'm doing well, Stephen A. It's good
all
to
right,
see
bro.
You.
Yes, sir.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You think I was going to let that slide? Did you have a good day?
I had a beautiful day.
Okay.
I spent the whole day with
happy
my daughters.
Happy birthday
it was good.
To you, sir.
Aw, that's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Daddy-daughter time. Nothing better. All right, let's get it. Max, I'm going to start with you. This Falcon situation, how worried should we be about the NFL season at this point?
Worried. I mean, the according to CNN, the fall surge of coronavirus cases is here. We're up over 50,000 a day. You know, like a month ago, it was 30,000, and it decreased from a peak of almost, I think, like 70,000 not all that long ago. But now it's not only climbing, but it's already at rates where you say, uh-oh, this is a real problem. And the cold weather is here and all that. The NFL is dealing with multiple games that have been postponed at least so far. But that all said, the NFL is doing way better than I anticipated they would. They are past the quarter pole and have played all their games, almost all their games. I mean, the Steelers had to sacrifice a bye later and take a bye early, but technically, nothing's really been canceled so far. And that is an amazing feat. Now, that said, that has occurred during a time where the cases were falling and people were feeling better and opening back up. And that's the thing about a pandemic absent a vaccination, is that you close things down to flatten and hopefully crush the curve. And then you have to reopen things where you can responsibly, naturally, because people do have to live their lives. And you try to make some kind of new normal that works. But as that happens, usually the cases go back up. And then you have to rinse and repeat until you can find a vaccination or contact trace in such a way that you can really isolate and totally crush the curve. So this is not unanticipated. I never thought in the beginning that the NFL had a prayer of finishing their season. I never thought it got above a 50-50 shot. I still believe that. But I'm encouraged, even in spite of what I just said, that things are getting worse, that you could anticipate that this would happen, that when you start to flatten the curve, it's going to spike back up again, and that's what we're seeing. All those things said, Stephen A., I'm encouraged by the fact that we're past the quarter pole, and so far, technically, there hasn't been a cancellation of a game. That's encouraging. I still think the NFL faces long odds.
Stephen A., I just want to mention quickly, there was another new positive COVID test on the Atlanta Falcons this morning, so that also just came in.
Max uses the word encourage. I'm going to be controversial with what I'm about to say, but I really feel it from the bottom of my heart, so to hell with it. This is what it is. I'm actually happy. And let me tell you why I'm happy. Because at some point in time, people need to be on alert. This virus that has ravaged the world, obviously our nation, obviously contributing to over 2,000 deaths, and there's nothing to be happy about that. Here's what I'm happy about. The fact that this has happened now puts you on alert. Let's take into account what's transpiring here. The same week that we've learned about additional tests from the NFL that appears to be positive, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers win the championship in the NBA, and in the post-game conference, LeBron talks about how difficult it was, but applauded the NBA by reminding the world the NBA did not have one single positive test. So what's the difference? What's the problem between the NBA and the NFL? No positive tests over the course of 4 months. We're not even 2 months into the NFL season, and there's been positive tests in Tennessee. There's been positive tests in New England. There's positive tests in Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there was a bubble in the NBA. The NFL didn't want that, meaning its Players Association and beyond. Everybody wanted to go about life, living life as normal as possible. And they didn't want to put forth the due diligence and make the necessary sacrifice in order to ensure the safety of all parties concerned. Yeah. So you get what you get. This is what it comes down to. Guess what? You're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Now, obviously, the practice facility, where their practice facility is located, is distant from the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Talk to folks in the city of Atlanta. I mean, every time I call my boys down there, they out. Everybody out. It's like, they talk about things being relatively restricted, but the restaurants are open, the bars, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they closed down March 19th. They opened in April.
They opened very quickly.
They opened in April.
Yes.
There was a big controversy about that. And so there's a level of normalcy that the ATL is enjoying that a lot of folks throughout this nation don't have the luxury of enjoying. Here in New York City, despite the fact that things have moved in a forward direction, we know the 32,000-plus deaths that the city of New York initially suffered, and it was literally the hot spot, okay? But Governor Cuomo and everybody else got together and they did what needed to be done, and still we haven't fully reopened in New York City. Mm-hmm. Hell, I couldn't even go to the movies a couple weeks ago. Couldn't go, because guess what? They weren't open. You couldn't do that. And so you got to pay attention to what's going on. What we have is a situation with NFL, pretty much the players, all right, because, again, don't tell me that the NFL didn't want you to be in a bubble kind of atmosphere. Yeah. It's something, Max, you know, that I've been promoting for months. What did I say? I'm not talking about 1,696 players being in the same location. We understand that's unreasonable. But when a season begins, when training camp opens, you could go to that particular facility that you are called upon to come to for training camp. Mm-hmm. You can restrict yourself to that for the season. You can have visits once or twice a week from family. They'll get tested upon entering. They can't enter until they test negative, et cetera, et cetera. We don't see nor hear about a lot of that going on. So as a result, one can easily deduce that what's transpiring is that you got guys, obviously some, most, who are honoring safety protocols, but there are some who may not. And as a result, they go out and do their own thing, and you end up finding yourself in this kind of predicament.
Not just no bubble, it's the numbers game. We're looking at 53 players.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They bore on themselves,
right?
It's almost nearly impossible to contain, right, Max?
That's why when I heard stories about people talking about, well, personal responsibility will result in the NFL being able to complete their season, the numbers are just against it. But I want to talk about the players' union and the NFL, Stephen A. When Major League Baseball players balked at doing what the NBA did, and let's remember, the NBA was almost done with their season, and they didn't complete their regular season. They completed enough regular season games, which I think was 7 or 8 more when they had the bubble, in order for the local TV revenue to kick in. They were able to do that because, and the players were more amenable to it partly because, not to take any credit away from them, they didn't have as far to go as other leagues who hadn't even begun. So it's also a little easier because there are fewer people on a team, including support staff in the NBA, than in the other sports. Nevertheless, credit the NBA players for signing up for what they did, being away from their family, the whole thing. So they got to complete their regular season, get their local TV money, and eventually crown a champion, and they had to make certain sacrifices, the players. The Major League Baseball Players Union balked at a bubble. We don't want to be away from our families, et cetera. So baseball, MLB, unilaterally said, okay, in that case, 60-game season. No fans, 60-game season. Major League Baseball looks like they're going to crown a champion, I think against the odds, even though, as you pointed out, Major League Baseball is a socially distanced sport largely to begin with, as opposed to football, which is the opposite. But I thought the odds were long, but they were able to do it partly because no fans, 60 games, not 162, 60. The owners had to cut their losses and prorate salaries for the players, right? NFL didn't do that. If the players' union is balking at a bubble in the whole thing, it's a long season, they haven't even begun yet, you need multiple bubbles, as you mentioned, in the NFL. If the players balk, then the NFL's proper response, in my view at the time, should have been the grown-up, the adult plan. Okay, guys, what if we did an 8-game season? So you had to be away from your family for 10 weeks, and then we regroup for the postseason, something along those lines, prorated salaries and all that. That, to my knowledge, was not discussed. What the owners wanted was to make every penny they could, knowing that they would lose on the live gate and that sort of thing. And so they're attempting in the NFL to have a full 16-game season. No bubbles in a sport where the idea for the defense is to anti-socially distance, right? With 100 people plus per team with support staff. It's a numbers game. The odds are against it.
Yeah, you're saying it's
succeeding.
A numbers game, but the problem that I have with your position is that you continuously point to the NFL. And I'm saying the players are just as culpable in this. The NFL did not come down with the mandate that the NFL players had to capitulate to no matter what. They sat down, they talked with one another. There were things that the players didn't want to capitulate to. There were things that were important to the players. You had 9 members of the New England Patriots elect not to even show up. Some due to injury or whatever, but some due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Those weren't the only players. Players had a choice to make. And when we talk about the NFL, I think we look at the commissioner, and I think we look at the owners, and rightfully so in a lot of situations. But in this situation, the players own just as much culpability, if not more, than the league itself, because all you could do is put forth the safety protocols, let them know there will be repercussions and ramifications for your actions, and then they still go out. And I'm not saying that happened with the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. We don't know. But I'm just saying, if you don't have a bubble, chances are there are violators somewhere that ended up contaminating other people.
Steve,
I don't think it's hard to deduce that.
You and I agree about that. I wouldn't say if not more for the players, but we agree that they share responsibility, the players and the owners, for the predicament, quote unquote, that they're in the NFL. On the other hand, I should mention about both the players and the owners, they're farther along than I thought they'd be at this point already. Like the fact that they're they're past the quarter
pole
and technically games haven't been canceled yet, to me, is kind of amazing.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The Jets cut former Pittsburgh Steelers star Le'Veon Bell Tuesday, who was on pace to break Jim Brown's record of most scrimmage yards all time per game. The Jets failed to find a trade partner. He's now a free agent. Bell was frustrated throughout his one-plus season with the Jets, a source said, and the breaking point occurred Sunday when he felt he should have been a bigger part of the game plan in a 30-10 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. According to our Jeremy Fowler, he's considering 3 teams, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Chiefs. On that note, we bring in our friend Monday Night Football's Lewis Riddick. Lewis, always good to talk to you. We'll get to you in just a minute. Stephen A., what's up?
I just want to make sure that, and Max, just so you know, and Lewis, I know that you're listening. It's good to see you, buddy. What I was talking about when it came to COVID-19 in the NFL, according to a source that just informed me of this, the teams actually wanted its players to be in their own individual bubbles, like when you come to training camp and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It is the players' union that fought against that. So the teams actually wanted to do it. The NFL wanted to do it.
The players
but the
did
Players
not.
Association.
Okay, that's a new
the
wrinkle.
The players
because
are
I
union.
Haven't heard that before.
That's right. The players. I was just told. And this
that,
2 seconds
happened.
Ago, the players' union.
Interesting
didn't
wrinkle.
Want to do it.
It was similar with MLB, where the players
that
didn't
happened
want to.
In baseball too. Yep.
Yeah, and, Max,
and
you and I are on the same page.
Season, but almost.
But it still comes down to players.
Yep.
If the players' association,
sure.
if the players insist, then the players' association has to capitulate, so they can go with the technicality all they want to. But this comes down to the players.
Okay.
For sure, and then the league can adjust.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a great wrinkle. Thank you for sharing that, Stephen A. Let's get back to Bell, though. So he wants the Chiefs, Bills, or Dolphins. Interesting there, that according to our Jeremy Fowler. Which team do you think he should sign with?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh. Well, first of all, if you're Le'Veon Bell, you need to go back to winning. So I would tell you the Chiefs or the Bills. The only reason I would say someone other than the Chiefs is because the Chiefs got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and this brother can play. And so I don't know how much action he can ball.
Oh,
so I don't know. I don't know how much action Le'Veon Bell, especially the Le'Veon Bell we've seen in a New York Jets uniform, is going to get. Now, obviously, I'm not completely blaming him.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people will look at him and say, what the hell did he do? Signed $52.5 million, about $28 million guaranteed, still owes $7 million, ain't done a damn thing for the New York Jets, hasn't even had a 100-yard game in the 17-plus games or so that he's played for the New York Jets. I'm going to blame that on Adam Gase. I'm going to say Adam Gase had something to do with that because I think he's terrible. He never deserved to be the head coach of the New York Jets. It was a stupid hire. And as far as
you
I'm
like
concerned, this will be
yeah,
well, he
his
was high.
Because
in my opinion, Lewis Riddick, Max Kellerman, in my opinion, just my opinion, if you go back to the Adam Gase introductory conference to be the head coach of the New York Jets, he looked high, straight up zooted,
oh,
out of
the
it.
There's
that's
video.
How he looked, and that's what I'm sorry. That when I see people who have been high, that is how they have looked, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
I mean, it looks like you got the impression down pretty well. I was
imitating
him. Right
well, I was about 15 pounds heavy at that particular moment in time, but that's neither here nor there. I looked like I had two chins at that point. Point that I'm trying to make to you
relax.
Is this. In the end, what it comes down to is Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to blame it on Gase. I still think that he's got some stuff left. And to me, he needs to be someplace where he's going to get action. You could use Miami, but guess what? Tua's going to ultimately be in there. Even though they've looked good, they're still rebuilding. I'm thinking, look, after leaving Pittsburgh and being accustomed to a winning situation and then contaminating yourself by wearing gangrene, you need to go to a winning situation, which needs to be KC. Or Buffalo, because I think Buffalo's
I think Buffalo is
on the come up.
Yeah.
So I would say Buffalo first, then the Chiefs, then Miami.
Of those three teams, I would take the Chiefs first. Helaire is a dynamo. But even if Le'Veon Bell is not producing because those fast twitchies aren't what they once were, I always thought of him as a very cerebral back. Like, he would diagnose the defense and run with such patience and wait for holes to open up and hit him. You could line him up everywhere. You could split this guy out wide. He could do so many things. And to me, obviously, you have to be very athletic to do that, but that's not what it was about. And so on a team like the Chiefs with a young dynamo like Helaire, I think he could be very valuable for what's inside his head. Never mind the production where, away from Adam Gase, I expect it to tick up a bit, if not a lot. I think probably the Chiefs are of those three teams. None of those three teams would jump to mind for me, like, oh, that's where he's heading. I mentioned Chicago maybe because Cohen's out for the season, and he seems like a fit there. But of those three teams, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Chiefs, I would say the Chiefs are the best fit. And also, all teams have more than one back nowadays. Even when they have a primary back, you need a couple. And to have two backs as versatile as Helaire and Le'Veon Bell, you give Andy Reid those guys with that team, look out. Even if it means fewer touches for him and everything, you would think at this point in his career, Le'Veon would want to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs would be the team that would really want him the most also because, look, they didn't expect Clyde Edwards to be just the primary ball carrier. They were expecting to have Damian Williams until he opted out of the season, obviously, for family reasons and very legitimate reasons. But I think they ideally wanted to have a legit two-back rotation. And knowing Brett Veach, the general manager, the way I do, and knowing how he values running backs and how he likes to get running backs – you know, that are very affordable to him as far as their salary cap is concerned. It makes sense for them, and really, it would help out Clyde Edwards, to be quite honest with you, considering the fact that he's a rookie and hasn't been through an offseason, and it's a long season. I think it would be a home run for them. They would be thrilled to death if he picks them. From a pure need standpoint, I think Buffalo, without a doubt, makes most sense for Le'Veon if he wants to get even more touches because, I mean, from a yards per carry basis, they are really suffering this year. Someone, I think, Max, I think you just mentioned Chicago. Really, when you just look at it organically and just take everything out of it, that's the place that I'm shocked, quite honestly, that they are not in the picture here. That I really am, because as much as I like David Montgomery, he is just not, it's just not enough. They don't have enough juice back there to really get it done. And I'm surprised that team isn't in the mix here. But as far as winning is concerned, if he wants to try and really get a championship and not have to take too much of the load and put it on him, Kansas City's a no-brainer.
But Lewis, that's where you and I part ways in that. I get where you're coming from, and I certainly won't challenge that in terms of it being beneficial to Kansas City. If he were coming from Pittsburgh to a Kansas City, then I would be more receptive to that. The problem is that this brother still wants to play in this league. He still wants to showcase what he brings to the table. And it's a bit problematic when you were just playing with the New York Jets and literally averaging 0.7 yards, not even a yard, 0.7 yards before contact. Your offensive line was suspect. It was non-existent as far as I'm concerned. Sam Darnold has taken a step backwards. Receivers want to leave town quick, fast, and in a hurry, and they ain't got nothing to do with COVID-19. They just don't want to be around Gates. That's really the reality of the situation. We already know what Jamal Adams feels about him. He's told you what he feels about the Jets organization, and I suspect Le'Veon Bell's going to say the same thing when he departs. Because that's your backdrop, your immediate background, I think it's important for him to go someplace where he's going to get activity. See, if he goes to Kansas City, we all know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get most of the work. He's going to get some touches, but in the end, that young brother right there is going to get much of the load, and Le'Veon Bell is going to just drip. I think to for him to continue up or to recapture that cachet he once had, that's where I'm coming from. His best shot would be Buffalo ahead of Kansas City, even though I like the Chicago idea as well. But Kansas City definitely is a better winning situation.
You can use Le'Veon all over the field, though. And I think after you get released, the ego takes a certain hit or realization, like, you can't get value from me? Really? So you have something to prove, but you also realize the way you're perceived and maybe even the way you know the way your own body reacts to the way versus the way it did 3 or 4 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. In Kansas City, the way Andy Reid could use him and Helaire together separately, it would be an embarrassment of riches if Le'Veon has anything left.
Yeah. If he has anything left. There's a lot of teams that are saying, look, we're not going to touch him. They think he slipped that much. Mm-hmm. But if he want to get paid, he got to go someplace where he's going to have some kind of a workload.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Can't wait for this one. Brady versus Rodgers. Does it get any better? Lewis Riddick still here with us. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Max, Both of these guys have heard a lot of criticism. I mean, some of it from you. Who has more to prove on Sunday?
Can you believe these two guys heard a lot of criticism from guys like me? It's an interesting world we live in. Two of the best who ever did it. But the answer is Tom Brady clearly has much more to prove in this game. Tom Brady's 43, not Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady's playing without Belichick for the first time in his career, not Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady's coming off a season where year over year he saw a massive decline in his numbers, not Aaron Rodgers. In fact, I'll get to that in a second. Tom Brady's on the team with an embarrassment of offensive weapons like everywhere you look, and a defense that's been roundly praised by football people this year, and even to an extent last year, looking back at last year, not Aaron Rodgers. Brady is set up here. By the way, Rodgers has to travel to face Brady. Brady's the one with something to prove. For the first, like, Belichick or Brady, who is it more? Okay, Brady gets away from Belichick, and what happens when he has a rematch with Nick Foles after losing in the Super Bowl to him a couple years ago? Travels to Chicago. Uh-oh, Nagy made a mistake. He gave the great Tom Brady over a minute to try and win this game, right? Here it comes. The Bucs are going to win. Watch out, everybody, especially the way Tom Brady chewed out his O-line publicly for everyone to see for making mental errors, right? Forget about pass protection. You guys were moonwalking down the field. We're going the wrong way. You're killing our drives with all these mental errors and penalties. And then what happens? Not only does he fail to complete two difficult passes, nevertheless, he failed to do it, but he thought it was third down when it was fourth down at the end of the game with the game on the line in a one-point, let alone one-score game. The great Tom Brady, after chewing out his offensive line, you remember him doing stuff like that with the Patriots when he was with Belichick? Because I don't. Meantime, Aaron Rodgers is coming off a season where, uh-oh, is he slipping? Is he in decline? No, he was just learning a new system. Obviously, went 13-3 learning that new system and supposedly falling off with a great touchdown interception ratio, right? Went 13-3, beat the Russell Wilson-led Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs, got to the NFC Championship game in that down year. And then this year so far, undefeated with the highest QBR posted after four games in the history of QBR. What does Aaron Rodgers have to prove right now? As usual, throwing to no first-round picks, right? The defense, nothing to write home about. Unless you're opposing offenses, we get to play the Packers defense. No, it is clearly Tom Brady with more to prove in this game.
I don't feel that way. And I don't feel that way, and I respect where you're coming from with all of your positions, because really, first of all, when we talk about these two guys, you know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. Who's the man that coined the phrase, he's a bad man? It's me. It's that, because that brother is that special.
That would be you.
Make no mistake about it. That would be me, all right? And we know that Tom Brady's a six-time champion. But the reason why I feel in this particular situation, however, that you can look at Aaron Rodgers and say he has something to prove, because he's been damn near perfect. He's completed 70% of his passes. He's got 13 touchdowns, zero interceptions, fresh off a 13-3 season and a trip to the NFC title game. But people still said there's slippage. Mm-hmm. He's not what he was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, et cetera, et cetera. Matter of fact, over the last 3 years, 2018, 2019 even, and now, you know, before this season, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been Aaron Rodgers. So guess what? You're coming out here, particularly after they draft Jordan Love, your successor, supposedly, in the future, and they draft this guy instead of augmenting the wide receiving corps. You still got Valdez Scantling. You still got Davante Adams, all right? Who I think should play this Sunday. They're saying he should play this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you got all of that going on. That's true. But in the end, they're looking at you, and they're saying, what's up? Because that's the question about the Green Bay Packers, because you're saying if Aaron Rodgers is still great, then guess what? They could go over the hump, and the Green Bay Packers could pretty much be representing the NFC in a Super Bowl. When you have those kind of things being thrown out about you, you're age 36, and now you're going up against Tom Brady, who's 43. Tom Brady, in the end, when all else fails, has his birth certificate to fall back on. If all else fails, I'm 43. Yeah. I tried. I made a go of it. Did work. Oh, well. But when you're Aaron Rodgers, and you only got one Super Bowl, and you haven't been to the Super Bowl, let alone won one, since 2010, and you're universally recognized as a future surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, a two-time league MVP, a Super Bowl champion, the greatest talent I've ever seen at the quarterback position until Patrick Mahomes arrived, and even I still say Patrick Mahomes has to do it over a period of time before I'm willing to usurp him over Aaron Rodgers. In the end, I'm just saying that if even though Aaron Rodgers is completely correct, mm-hmm. I'm not playing against Tom Brady, I'm playing against that defense. The problem is if they lose this game and all of a sudden he has a bad game compared to the other games, we're going to look at him as being outplayed by Tom Brady. And that's how people are going to talk about it. That's why it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But if you got to answer the question picking one side over the other, that's where I come
and
with Aaron Rodgers.
He's tracking in the right direction right now and really redeeming himself
yes.
after some of the critics last season. Lewis, where are you on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to say Tom has more to prove simply because of this. He didn't go down to Tampa just for a swan song, just to get some sun, just to live in Derek Jeter's house, ride around on jet skis in a boat, and just kind of ride off into the sunset. They
sounds
brought
good,
him down there. He went down there. Yeah, it does sound good. He went down there because he thinks that they can win. And he thinks that they can compete at the highest level. The Buccaneers internally thought that he could put them over the hump in a way that Jameis Winston obviously could not. And for them, it was, we may start a little slow. It may take a little time. But by the end of the year, we expect to win the South. We expect to be in the NFC Championship game, and we expect to be contending for Super Bowl titles. Why else would you sign Tom Brady at this point? Why else? So the pressure is on him, especially given the fact that two of his primary pass catchers are hobbled going into this football game. So there's a lot of pressure on him, especially because he's coming off of a game where, as Stephen A. just alluded to, did he forget that it was a fourth down? Did he think it was still a third down? If there are the optics of him yelling at his offensive line, although he used to do that in New England too, so that doesn't bother me. But the fact is, he didn't deliver at the end of the game. Aaron Rodgers, whereas I can also see why people say, well, look, Aaron has only won one Super Bowl, despite the fact that he's one of the most gifted players to ever play the position. Aaron Rodgers is in a very, very good place right now, mentally, physically, how he feels about Matt LaFleur, how he feels about the weapons that he has, how these young guys have really taken from him as far as his confidence in the offense, and they are playing with confidence. They have a strong running game. I'm telling you what, I have never been more impressed talking to a veteran signal caller than I was in our production meeting when we talked to Aaron Rodgers. I could have sat there and listened to him all day long. He talked about more things than just football to the point where it felt like I'm just going to tell you how I'm feeling about not just football, but about my teammates, about life, about how to handle being a pro, handle expectations. It was a tutorial it was an insight and kind of an inner look into the minds of one of the greatest players to ever play this game. And he then went out on that Monday night and played that way without his best weapons. No Allen Lazard, no Davante Adams, and I know he's going up against the Atlanta Falcons, who aren't very good. He carved them up like they were a JV junior high team. It wasn't even a contest. And I'm telling you right now, this guy has got it going on. And he is playing when you look at his face and you look at his expressions when he's playing the game, does he look like a guy who comes across as feeling as though he has to prove anything to anybody? He looks like he's saying this: I don't care what you do. I've got you. I've got all the answers. Tom looks like a guy who feels as though it is on me to really lift this football team down here in Tampa, because they brought me, the most accomplished quarterback ever, down here for one reason: to win the Super Bowl. That's it. Aaron doesn't play like that. But his team is in a position where I would be shocked if they don't make it to the Super Bowl, honestly.
Lewis, I think that if you ask who has more pressure on them, then Stephen A., I think you're answering the question to my ears. It sounds like you're making a case that would convince me that there's more pressure on Rodgers, given the way he's looked, given the fact that he only has one Super Bowl and all those things. And what does Tom Brady have to, you know, prove in terms of that kind of stuff? So there is pressure always on Rodgers that way. But more to prove at this moment, No, you can't just point to the birth certificate with Brady, because he's trying to prove that the birth certificate is not a death sentence on his career right now. He's trying to prove that he can still lead a team to a Super Bowl. He's trying to prove, in other words, he's still the great Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, if this was game one of the season, I might agree, given last year. But what Aaron Rodgers has done through a quarter of the season so far is actually unprecedented. He's played the first quarter of the season better than anyone since QBR started tracking stuff in 06.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Better than anyone. Like, he's insane right now.
Well, and that's what his receiving core injured.
Well, exactly what I'm saying. But the point is that you're perfect, and then all of a sudden you're going up against Tom Brady and you're imperfect. That could be problematic, number one. Number two, Lewis, when you point to Tom Brady and he came down there to win the Super Bowl, let me say this. It would be nice, but when you are a franchise that hasn't even made the playoffs since 2007, I think they take an NFC championship game. I don't think we'd look at Tom Brady in an NFC championship game and go like this, oh, he's failed. I recall Tom Brady going 2004 to 2014 without getting to a Super Bowl. Okay, but he was still terrific Tom Brady, okay?
Yeah.
So guess what? You're playing for an organization that ain't been anywhere, and you get him to the playoffs and then an NFC championship game. I don't think we're going to look at Tom Brady and go like,
right.
Oh, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl
so
is in Tampa.
I don't look at it that way.
All
I don't.
Right.
I don't believe it.
Joe Montana.
You got to leave it there.
Joe Montana, the original Tom Brady, took the Chiefs to an AFC championship game, and that validated the fact that it wasn't all Walsh. It had a lot to do with Montana. Absolutely. If Brady got him to an NFC championship game, that would count for something.
You could have easily just said, Steven, you're right.
Guys, and got more to prove.
Gotta go.
That's all.
This is the rubber match. They split meetings in the past. Home team winning. Green Bay is favored by one here, and the game is in Tampa. Lewis, thank you so much. Always good to see you, sir. Great analysis.